from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Danielle Venton, and this is the California Report. We begin in San Jose, where many of the 14,000 residents who evacuated their homes because of flooding are being allowed back. But these same residents are still looking for answers as to why they didn't get more advanced notice of the rising waters. Flooding along the city's Coyote Creek came after a series of heavy rainstorms, combined with water rushing down the spillway of the nearby Anderson Reservoir. Assistant Fire Chief Robert Sapien says officials are looking into why data failed to predict the extent of the flooding.
The flows were going to overcome the capacity of our creek channel. What we, I think, had the most difficulty establishing was how much and when.
San Jose officials describe this event as the worst flooding in 100 years. Meanwhile, in Fresno, county officials are concerned that a weakened levee could breach and cause flooding in the cities near where the San Joaquin and Kings Rivers merge. Yesterday, the county declared an emergency, potentially giving them access to state funding for repairs. The biggest immediate concern is the city of Mendota's wastewater treatment facility. If the levee breaches, more than 1 million gallons per day of wastewater could mix with river and canal water. California Senator Kamala Harris says she's unable to get confirmation that President Trump's latest directive calling for increased deportations won't also target Dreamers at some point in the future. Those are young people who came to the U.S. as kids with undocumented parents, but have since attained temporary legal status. There are over 200,000 DACA recipients in California alone. The Trump administration's memo this week on immigration enforcement states that the DACA program remains in effect. But Harris says she recently pressed Homeland Security Chief John Kelly for reassurances.
I asked him twice on the record to confirm that we would keep our commitment to those young people, and he would not commit to keeping that promise. And there is nothing about the executive actions at this point that has made clear that we are going to keep that commitment as it relates to those who may be swept up.
Senator Harris spoke at an immigration forum yesterday in Los Angeles that included L.A. County Sheriff Jim McDonnell. The sheriff pledged that his department would not participate in the expansion of a voluntary federal program that essentially allows local law enforcement to act as immigration officers. At the same time, fears of deportation seem to be affecting California's undocumented college students. New data shows California DREAM Act applications have plummeted, down 40% compared to this time last year. The state program hands out grants to undocumented students, which can cover tuition and fees at public universities and colleges here. State Assembly Speaker Anthony Rendon says students are afraid federal officials will tap into state databases to target them and their families. But he says their information will be protected in the Golden State.
I don't know how anyone can listen to these stories and think that deporting these kids to other countries is the right thing to do. To the Dreamers, we are behind you. Please fill out your forms. In California, anyway, your information is protected.
The application deadline for DREAM Act grants is next week. Since the DREAM Act took effect in 2013, more than 20,000 undocumented students have received state financial aid under the program. Immigrant parents who pay for their children to be brought into the U.S. by smugglers could face criminal prosecution or deportation under new directives issued by the Trump administration. California is one of the two states with the greatest number of unaccompanied child migrants. KQED's Farida Jabvala Romero reports.
Rafael Lopez lives just south of San Francisco. He's one of more than 150,000 kids traveling without parents who were detained at the U.S. border in the past 3 years. He was 17 and brought only a backpack with some clothes and a rosary.
That's the only thing that I get because my whole trip I was praying.
Young people trying to reach the U.S. are vulnerable to assault and other crimes. Still, Lopez's parents paid smugglers about $8,000. His mother, Estela, says the dangers in El Salvador were greater.
See, if he joins the gangs, they kill him. If he doesn't join, it's the same. What forces us to put our children's lives at risk with a trip to the border is we want them to be away from danger.
Now, anyone, including parents, who facilitates the illegal entry of a child into the U.S. could be prosecuted or deported. That's in this week's marching orders from the Department of Homeland Security.
This policy is just so wrong.
Attorney Helen Beasley with Community Legal Services in East Palo Alto says undocumented parents will fear retrieving their children from immigration custody. and that could mean kids will be detained longer.
Obviously, being in custody is incredibly traumatic for children, and they may be less likely to articulate, you know, the trauma that they've suffered in their home countries or in the journey that would qualify them for legal relief.
Without a parent or guardian to help them apply for asylum, Beasley worries children could be deported more quickly. But others say the Obama administration was too lenient, and the new directive is common sense. Jessica Vaughn is with the Center for Immigration Studies, a think tank that favors restricting immigration.
These steps will help put a stop to this surge of new illegal arrivals from Central America and to this practice of parents paying smuggling organizations to bring their kids into the United States illegally.
Rafael Lopez now has asylum, but he says the ordeal he went through was really hard.
I can't imagine how it's going to be now. That's going to be worse. That's going to be horrible for those kids.
He worries the Trump administration will make it tougher for young people like him to reunite with their parents. For the California Report, I'm Farida Javala Romero.
Let's move now to healthcare. Nurses and healthcare activists rallied in Sacramento yesterday to support a new take on an old idea: universal coverage for all Californians. Legislators have failed on this issue before, so KQED's Laura Clivens wanted to know why advocates think this year's bill could succeed.
A Modesto band, Grupo La Meta, warmed up the crowd with a song addressed to Bernie Sanders, the perennial champion for universal health care. Roughly 400 people applauded and cheered. Most wore red, the color of the California Nurses Association. All were there to push for a health system that would be paid for by the state government and not insurance companies. It would cover all California residents, even those who are undocumented. California legislators have twice submitted bills for universal health care that went all the way to former Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He vetoed both. But the head of the nurses' union, Roseanne DeMauro, thinks this time things are different. She says that while the Affordable Care Act helped, the plans are still too expensive for some.
The average person who we're asking to take a stand for the ACA, we're basically asking them to do something that they can't afford. That really is the truth.
Which is why she and other nurses want something different from the ACA, a system that covers all their patients, no exceptions. But critics of universal coverage say it would give government too much control and drastically raise taxes. For the California Report, I'm Laura Clivens in Sacramento.
And finally today, here's something that may shock you. Public schools in California are not required to test for lead in their drinking water. CalPERG, the public interest research group, is giving the state an F for not doing anything to change that. Here's the California Report's education reporter, Anna Tintakalis.
CalPERG compared the 16 biggest states in the U.S., and California failed because it doesn't require lead testing in schools or tell parents anything. But recent lead contamination cases at public schools in San Diego could change things.
Something seemed a little funny about the water. It smelled bad. It seemed to be a little slimy and the wrong color.
That's San Diego Assemblywoman Lorena Gonzalez, who is now pushing a bill that would force schools to test for lead and report back to parents.
After what happened in Flint, we know how critical lead poisoning can be in our schools. And it is not good enough to not want to know the truth about your own drinking water anymore. And we understand that puts schools in a tough position, but we have to protect children.
Lead exposure in kids can lead to learning disabilities and serious health problems. Another bill would require schools to use water filters. Jason Feifel is a health advocate with CalPERG.
It is imperative that we start with schools and daycares because kids are the ones most vulnerable.
The pair of bills comes a month after state officials say they'll cover the cost if schools want to test their water. For the California Report, I'm Anna Tintakalis.
Support for the California Report comes from Personal Capital, the website that shows all financial accounts in one place and helps plan for retirement. PersonalCapital.com. Barracuda Networks, security, archiving, and backup solutions for physical networks and public cloud services such as Microsoft Azure and Office 365. Learn more at barracuda.com/KQED. And Eric and Wendy Schmidt, whose family foundation advances the wiser use of energy and natural resources on a planet where everything is connected. On the web at theschmidt.org.
And that's the California Report for Thursday, February 23rd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Danielle Venton.